Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, we're into hour number two, and he's with us for 30 minutes. Joining us from the Fox Business Studios, he has the number one show on Fox Business with its premiere. The number one show, because he's the hardest hitting contributor on Fox television. He's the one guy that I can agree with 99% of the time. I don't agree with myself hardly 99% of the time. I'll tune into something I said a week ago and kind of go, I didn't mean the way that sounded. But Judge Andrew Napolitano is just amazing. Multi-time best-selling author, former federal judge, constitutional lawyer. And he's with us for 30 minutes to talk about Elena Kagan. The more we learn about her, openly anti-gun, she praises what Robert Bork called the worst judge in the world, this Israeli judge who calls for judges to be activists, to restrict free speech. She calls for restricting free speech. Obama using executive orders to try to ram through carbon taxes and on the coal plants. Now he wants to do it. We've got eight senators telling us, that's in Fox News and Reuters and other publications, that he may use an executive order to legalize all the illegals. Which is pretty unconstitutional. So we're going to talk about it all with Judge Andrew Napolitano. Judge, good to have you here with us.
Pleasure to be here, Alex. Thank you for the kind things you said. You actually promoted me. I'm a former life-tenured state judge.
State judge.
Federal judge.
How about Grand UN judge? They, you know, Kagan would like to have us under UN control, she said so.
You know, it's frightening to hear that she has said those things. And one can only hope that they were the musings of a young lawyer, because if she still holds those ideas that we should have judges like they do in Europe who can outlaw certain types of speech and compel certain types of economic activities, that authority comes nowhere from the Constitution. You and I have criticized George Bush, who claimed that he got authority as president from some source. He wouldn't say what the source was other than the Constitution. It was absurd, and almost every time he claimed that, the court itself knocked him down. Now we have a would-be and probably will-be member of the court who is claiming that the court has authority from some source other than the Constitution, and that they should use it according to their political predilections. This, and this alone, is enough to block her from being confirmed. But the Democrats have 59 senators. I'm sure she'll get in no matter what she says.
Well, what about the quote from her 93 law review where she publicly wrote that if we don't like speech, we will, quote, disappear it. And now Obama openly announces the Internet electronic kill switch under cybersecurity. The FCC proposes black boxes in our homes that filter what we can see and that tracks everything we're doing. I mean, you talk about the bottom falling out that you've always warned about as a constitutional law scholar, that once you go over that threshold, that there's nothing there underpinning it. Historically, we always accelerate into tyranny. What's your take on her confirmation, and will she get confirmed? We've seen national polls of less than 38% support her. And what do you say about Obama's move to openly take over the Internet?
All right, a couple things. First of all, the concept of a box in the house rings of the Chinese government and rings of George Orwell's 1984. And it is inconceivable that that could be constitutional under the law, because the threshold of your house makes you the king of your castle. And if the Constitution is going to be followed, the government can't enter directly, physically, or constructively without a search warrant from a judge. That's the law. I don't know that she would uphold it that way, but I believe that a majority of the Supreme Court will. Secondly, regrettably, unfortunately, I believe that she will be confirmed simply because she is the nominee of a Democratic president, and the Democrats have 59 votes in the Senate. They don't care what she says. She will, of course, tickle their ivories when she says progressive things. That's with an uppercase P in progressive, like you have just quoted her as having said, because the Democrats don't believe in freedom, and many Republicans are in the same boat. The big government crowd doesn't believe in freedom. They believe in power and in conformity.
Let's get back into that when we return, and I want to talk more about your TV show, because this is so important. I mean, liberty is what is most popular. The message that Andrew Napolitano is putting out is winning in the court of ideas.
Be Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're going to be skipping this network break coming up, so Judge Andrew Napolitano will have plenty of time with us. He's with us until the bottom of the hour. He just finished taping his show that will air Saturday on the Fox Business Channel. It premiered last week to the highest ratings of any show on the Fox Business Network. And my friends, I mean, I've said I can find no fault with Judge Andrew Napolitano. I mean, he exposes the world government. He exposes the false left-right paradigm. He stands up the Bill of Rights and Constitution, no matter, you know, how politically incorrect it is. And he is just such a great researcher and a fighter for liberty. And the fact that out of the gates, his show is number one. What does that say? Chris Matthews can't get any viewers. You know, why does Fox News have conservatively 5 to 10 times, depending on the show, the viewers of Chris Matthews on MSNBC? It's because no one wants to hear establishment, statist, socialist, globalist lies and propaganda. And, you know, compared to the rest of Fox News, I mean, Judge Andrew Napolitano is, you know, like Glenn Beck, and the rest of Fox is like Chris Matthews. I mean, I'm sorry if I had to use the analogy here. And so that he's got top ratings, I mean, I knew it was going to happen. I mean, I told him off air last time I was on. I said, watch, you're going to be number one. I said, guaranteed, because the people are hungry. And so talk about the success, and then we're going to get into Obama's increasingly imperial presidency that, according to my research, is exceeding anything we've ever seen in this country. But first, the second show coming up this Saturday, tell people about it and what the success of your transmission means.
Well, the success of our transmission means a couple things. It means that you can take a show from the internet and bring it to the TV screen. It means that there is a thirst out there for a focus on the government that has a bias in favor of human liberty, but believes that the individual is greater than the state, that the individual has natural rights and an immortal soul, and the government is just an artificial creation based on fear and force, that the Constitution means what it says, that that government is best which governs least, that the people are entitled to a government that stays within the confines of the Constitution, and that the Constitution was written to keep the backs off the people. Now, none of those is a radical argument. Those are words, for the most part, from founding fathers and statesmen throughout the country. Unfortunately, they don't resonate to the government. They resonate to people who watch the government, which is why I refer to myself half seriously and half in jest on the show as a night watchman. My job is to watch the government under cover of darkness and report to whoever wants to watch the show when the government steals liberty and when the government steals property. And as you know, Alex, and you've been a pioneer here, governments of both political parties, I should say government of the one big government party with its Republican branch and its Democratic branch, steal liberty and steal property every day. When I attacked the Bush administration for this, you know, there are a lot of Republicans who get their noses out of joint. This morning, when we taped our show for this weekend, Congressman Dana Rohrabacher, a right-down-the-middle conservative Republican from Southern California, former speechwriter for Ronald Reagan, looked at me and said, almost all Republicans in the House of Representatives now believe that the war in Iraq was a mistake, that it was unlawful, that it was immoral, that it wasn't worth the lives lost or the trillions that will be spent. Now, that is newsworthy that he would say it. It is newsworthy that so many Republicans would change their mind. It is newsworthy that people are starting to recognize that the government at almost all levels is out of control, and there is a need for the Alex Jones Show and for Freedom Watch to remind people. And when they know where to go, they will go to listen to what the government is doing to them.
Well, there's no doubt that on a level playing field where the ideas of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, our founders, common sense, when it's given a level playing field, we win every time. It's like, you know, last year's Super Bowl team playing a group of five-year-old peewee, football players. And that's why Obama is openly coming out, the FCC, the Federal Trade Commission. I mean, this isn't just on Freedom Watch or Infowars.com now, ladies and gentlemen. It's now in the AP, in the Financial Times of London. Obama to have kill switch. Government to have black box in-house that watches everything you do and filters what you can see. Government to have megaphone. Government to have behavior placement. I mean, this is bona fide tyranny.
This is proposed by the Republicans' favorite Democrat, Joe Lieberman of Connecticut, under the guise of, well, if we are attacked, if the power grid is attacked, if the internet is attacked, the president has to have the power to turn it off before the attackers can get...
the power grid's not hooked up to the internet.
Precisely. There's so much illogic in there, but put aside the illogic. What about the Constitution? What about if I want my laptop turned off, I'll turn it off? What about the fact that the laptop is just a modern way to exercise my freedom of speech? And the whole purpose of the First Amendment, according to Justice William Brennan, one of the most liberal appointees of the 20th century, is to keep the government out of the business of deciding what I read and what I watch and what I hear, and presumes that the individual is competent to decide what to read, watch, hear, and say. There is absolutely no authority under the Constitution, whether under the guise of public safety or not, and the government has always used public safety as the excuse to steal our liberties, for the government to control the internet. Oh, how the government would love to have the power over the internet that the Chinese government has over the internet there. The internet has been the greatest tool of the exchange of ideas and of the search for truth since the invention of the printing press. They can't control the printing press, so they want to control the internet.
And expanding on that, they know they can't compete with our ideas. That's why Cass Sunstein, the regulations are. That's why the FCC's diversities are. Praises censorship of Hugo Chavez. I mean, I think Americans need to realize that we're dealing with bona fide despots and tyrants here. And we see Obama, as bad as Bush was, as bad as Clinton was, it's just a progression. But now, because there's a huge awakening happening, they are accelerating their takeover. And we see him federalizing the auto industry, federalizing the banks. We see him now, according to eight senators and Fox News and others are reporting, that Obama plans to sign an executive order legalizing all the illegal aliens. For those that aren't a constitutional lawyer like yourself or a former top state judge, Judge Andrew Napolitano, will you explain to them, because for my layman research, the president executes law and the legislative passes it. That is treason. That is a act of sedition against our republic to have the president say that I'm going to launch a war without Congress's approval. I'm going to legalize foreigners. I mean, can you speak to that?
Sure, I can speak to it. The president has taken an oath to uphold the Constitution and the laws. When the president does things like intimidate the bondholders of GM and Chrysler during their bankruptcies to break the law, intimidate the banks to accept TARP monies that they don't want, intimidate BP to cough up $20 billion slush fund that his political appointee can distribute however he wants, intimidate insurance company executives not to raise premiums until the law that prohibits the raise comes into effect. He is effectively writing laws himself. That is, on its face, unconstitutional, because the Constitution says only the Congress can write laws and not the president. The flip side of this is, when he says, we haven't heard this out of his mouth, but we've heard it from people around him, and they're not denying it, which is why Fox and other outlets are reporting it, he is considering a blanket amnesty of all illegals in the country. The last time we had an amnesty was in the Reagan administration. It was done by the Congress. Only the Congress can do this by changing the law. Does the Congress have the power to change the law? Yes. Does the president have the power to change the law? No. So what could he do? Well, he could, with the stroke of a pen, stop all arrests and stop all deportations.
I would imagine you're aware of this case, but it's been in the Salt Lake City papers. Nat Hentoff has written about it for the Reading Eagle. Philadelphia man indicted for using right to free speech. And I saw this a few months ago, but now they're going ahead with the three felonies. And the part he's been charged for, he was watching an unemployment debate about getting rid of his benefits. And his quote is that, "Are you crazy? Are you all insane? No checks equals no food for me. Do you get it?" And he sent it as an email. And under the Telecommunications Act of 1996, under Section 1934, he did utilize a telecommunications device. Whether or not communication ensued without disclosing his identity, it was his email, and with the intent to annoy, abuse, threaten, and harass any person who received the communication. And it says he would serve the three counts concurrently, as much as 30 years federally in prison for calling the senator insane.
I would think that a federal judge would not permit such a prosecution. I'm convinced absolutely that the Third Circuit Court of Appeals, which is the federal appeals court that covers Pennsylvania, would invalidate it. That court particularly has a tradition of being very pro-individual against the government when it comes to expressive liberty.
Sure, but what does this say about the mindset of the people that are in these federal positions, these federal prosecutors? I mean, now, that's an example of how they can pass a law and then not use it till 14 years later. It's
right.
Like,
well, the law is unconstitutionally vague, and quite frankly, Alex, there are Supreme Court opinions that say the Congress cannot stop you from annoying or offensive speech because the First Amendment protects annoying or offensive speech. And the Supreme Court, for all of the wacky things that it's done, you know, it allowed slavery, it allowed abortion, it allows prosecutions of crimes that shouldn't exist. Today, by a 9-0 vote, gave federal prosecutors the greatest rebuke that they have ever had in modern times when it found unconstitutional their favorite tool, their favorite weapon, which is the Honest Services Law. That law allowed federal prosecutors to prosecute even people who did the right thing if they harbored in their mind a desire to benefit from it themselves. The mayor of Newark, New Jersey, went to jail because he had sex with a real estate agent that the city hired to sell city property. Did she sell the city property at market rates? Yes. Did the city lose a nickel? Yes. But because the mayor had sex with her, he was convicted by a federal prosecutor who's now the governor of New Jersey and by a federal jury in Newark for violating the Honest Services Law. He was more interested in sex than he was in a professional relationship.
Well, that's a thought crime. I mean, that's controlling who we can associate with.
The Supreme Court today, with everybody from Ruth Bader Ginsburg to Antonin Scalia and the other seven in between agreeing, invalidated that and said to the feds, you cannot use language creatively to prosecute people. You must use statutory language narrowly. Now, at the risk of getting too into the weeds, I make this argument for you, Alex, because I am convinced that this prosecution about which you have rightly complained and which you have wonderfully exposed in Philadelphia ought never to occur, and if it does occur, will be thrown out at the appellate level, especially after this case came down today. But we should not even have people in a position of power, in a position to decide who gets indicted and who gets prosecuted, who have a mindset that they can use the power of the government to punish speech. Because if anything is sacrosanct in this country, is that you can say anything you want, anytime you want, anywhere you want about anybody in the government.
That's what's so incredible about this, is that we see countless videos of police beating somebody up and then charging the person they've beat up with assaulting them. You see countless videos of police going to the wrong house and killing somebody's chihuahua. We see countless videos of police all over the country pulling a motorcycler over who has a camera mounted on his head because he's videotaping him a YouTube video and indicting him for wiretapping when there's no reasonable perception of privacy. I mean, more and more, the government is really showing us that they want to be tyrants, that this is real tyranny. But the good news is And it's evidenced by your show being the number one show out of the gates on the Fox Business Network with its first premiere, is that the sleeping giant is awakening. I cannot stress enough, Judge Andrew Napolitano, and for all the listeners out there, I want you to briefly comment on this because we're almost out of time, that when we say there's an awakening happening, I don't think the system even understands how big this is.
I think you're right, and I've been privileged to come along at the right time. My show, Freedom Watch, which can be seen on the Fox Business Network, 10 a.m. and 8 p.m. These are Eastern times on Saturday, 7 p.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, has sort of captured the crest of a wave. If you ask people, if Ron Paul told me this and he's right, do you want to take care of yourself or you want the government to take care of you? Do you want to make decisions on your own or do you want the government to make decisions for you? Do you want to be able to think as you please and say what you think and publish what you say, or do you want the government to interfere with that? When you put things to people like that, almost everyone comes down on the side of freedom. And that's what's made Freedom Watch successful. That's what's made you successful. And that's what's made the government fearful.
Well, there's nothing better the few times in my life when I've had a chance to go for a hike, a week-long hike, where you got the backpack on, you got your tent, you've got your food, and just to go out there and to rely on yourself. And it's really an analogy of that. I mean, I don't want a bunch of distant bureaucrats who happen to be crooks 9 times out of 10 running my life. It's so fundamental. They've bankrupted our society. They've launched all these illegal wars. Bush 3 weeks ago was out giving speeches about how he ordered torture. Meanwhile, they sent people to prison who followed those orders. I mean, this is tyranny. And I keep saying that. I mean, folks, do you know where tyranny leads? And I think God's given us a chance. I think, you know, history's giving us a chance, Judge, and I want you to speak to this. We are at a crossroads. And if good people like yourself and Ron Paul and many others, but also just the rank and file folks out there, stand up as leaders, speak up, point out the emperor is wearing no clothes, and rebuke this evil like Hitler should have been rebuked, like Stalin should have been rebuked, or Mao Zedong before they really got going, we have a chance to avert a historical disaster. Because there's no doubt, studying history, that if we don't take America back right now, America won't lead us into the 21st century worldwide for liberty. America will lead the way into a new dark age of despotism that dwarfs anything ever seen in the history of man.
I am reading a terrific book. It's the second time I've read it in my life. It's Hayek's, H-A-Y-E-K, F-A Hayek's, The Road to Serfdom. It was written in 1944, and it describes how Europe descended into serfdom as people like Mussolini and Hitler were popularly elected against legitimate opponents, and the public and the government gave them all the power that they had. It is eerily, eerily reminiscent, eerily predictive, because it was written 65 years ago, of exactly what's happening today. Central planning by bureaucrats, not even by popularly elected officials, but by bureaucrats. The decision that power is more in the spotlight than liberty. The decision that individuals should not be able to make choices for themselves. Look, we have to be on the watch for the loss of liberty. It doesn't happen overnight.
You'll take my life, but I'll take yours too. You fire musket, but I'll run you through. So when you're waiting for the next attack, you better stand, there's no turning back. The field was served, the charge begins. But on this battlefield, no one wins. The smell of my sweet smoke and horse's breath is a bunch of
joining us. We're going to have Ron Paul with us until about 55 after today, unless the bell rings and he's got to go vote. We appreciate him joining us. I'm just not going to mince words. I'm going to go through a laundry list of issues. Congressman, as you know, the FCC has said they want to start taking over the Internet, the Federal Communications Commission. We also have the Federal Trade Commission saying they want to start taxing the Internet and literally funding old-line media. That sounds like it violates the First Amendment and so many others. We have Kagan with her anti-First Amendment statements about disappearing speech that the government finds to be hurtful. as long as the government feels it's a moral reason, they can restrict our speech. We've got the Federal Election Commission coming after Campaign for Liberty, as you put out in your press release yesterday, saying you can't put out letters telling people how members of Congress have voted. I mean, this is 180 degrees, the opposite of what our country was founded on. I can't even believe this is happening. Can you speak to that and where this is going?
Well, it's going in the wrong direction, obviously, and that is what I understand about Campaign for Liberty. They've had somebody at least make a charge and file a complaint that there was a violation, but it probably won't hold up, hopefully. But the whole idea that people think they can and harass you and you go through this legal maneuvering, because that is the goal of many, is to control us. I think the main goal is also to control the Internet. They're very interested in that. The other day we had sounded like a pretty benign vote. It was under suspension, and that was to praise the idea that government and private entities would study and work together on how to provide cybersecurity. And I don't know if there was anybody else that voted against it. I voted against it just on this principle that we don't need that. We don't need this private sources cooperating with the Federal Reserve, you know, the government forces, in order to have cybersecurity. I don't think the government's interested in our security. They're interested in their security. But, yes, I think everything is going, especially with this administration, is going in the wrong direction. And I've always been fearful of them wanting to take over the Internet. You know, they've announced, made this announcement that, you know, if necessary, they might even just close down the Internet, which would be devastating to all of us.
Well, that's what Lieberman said on CNN. He said, China has this power. We need it. And I would imagine they'll shut it down a few times, but turn it right back on and say, see, we saved it.
Unfortunately, I'm afraid that could very well happen.
Well, expanding on that, two things, and I want your specific take on this, Congressman Ron Paul. We appreciate you joining us today. This shows that we're really having an effect, that they're harassing Campaign for Liberty, that they're openly coming out and saying they want to restrict free speech, put taxes, quote, on conspiracy theories, and Cass Sunstein at the White House, the regulations are said, like anthropogenic global warming. If you deny that, maybe we should tax you or fine you. I mean, the fact that they want to shut us up shows that we're gaining ground, A, and B, doesn't it reveal to everyone just how tyrannical these people really are?
Yeah, I think it does, and it's a real job to sort all this out, because sometimes people think that all we need are a couple more Republicans and that'll solve the problem, but that's not necessarily the case. But right now, it's the Democrats who are in charge, and they're the ones who are, you know, wanting to radicalize this whole thing. And we know that that is the agenda of many, you know, in the establishment, and that is more government control and less personal freedom, more taxes, the whole mess that we've been fighting. But I still, you know, hold out that the people are waking up, and it may well be that the opposition, that is the government, is getting very concerned that the people are becoming alert from all that has been done in the freedom movement.
Well, Senator DeMitt reported that 94% of Senate bills are not read. I know the number in the House is similar. And so 94% of the bills aren't even looked at. Special interests are writing, and we've had an offshore corporate coup. And then separately, they passed the law in the House, 2 days ago, to not let, quote, special interests tell you how someone has voted months before an election, a restriction of free speech.
Yeah.
So they're not reading the bills, and they don't want us to know how they voted. And the FEC trying to keep Campaign from Liberty from being able to tell people how folks voted. I mean, this really is tyranny.
Well, yes, and they want to make sure that independent organizations and corporations can't spend their money or tell people how they vote. But, you know, there are corporations, and this is where I think you can fall into the category, because if you run a newspaper or you have a TV show, that's a corporation, can be a corporation, but they're not going to regulate them. So if there is an organization or a political action committee or a private group or corporation who wants to tell people how they vote, no, you might be restricted, but they never think for a minute they should restrict the media, assuming that the media is always going to be radical left and defend their candidates. But, you know, there's just a few people on cable and radio and other places that they, you know, the way I would understand what they're doing, they still haven't come to trying to regulate what the TV stations are saying or what the radios are saying.
Congressman, going into another very important subject, I almost fell off my chair last Friday when the Washington Post admitted in an article that they're set to pass the financial reform bill. They admitted their $600 trillion in derivatives. They went on, that was the first time I'd seen that in a mainstream publication, just to admit that the Federal Reserve is going to have a new group with almost total autonomy, was their words, to control all other financial institutions. The Texas Banking Association president has said that the very groups that gave us derivatives with an unfair trade advantage for themselves want to be able to take over all the smaller local banks, and that really, out of the crisis, the big mega banks, J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, and others created, they are now going to get even more power over the rest of the economy, and that this is an expanded Federal Reserve coup of America. Can you elaborate on that and give us...
Yeah, and I think you, you've described it rather well, but that's not the way they claim it is. You know, they claim, well, this is going to protect the consumers. It's not run by the Fed. They don't have authority, but it's going to be in the Federal Reserve. They do not have control over the policy. But guess what? Guess who pays for it? The Federal Reserve pays for it. So it isn't even appropriation. It isn't even, you know, part of the appropriation process. So you have this new regulatory agency supposed to protect the consumer, but I think it's going to protect the special interests that have had all the benefits and then got bailed out. So it's this package, which passed the House yesterday, you know, is very bad for all of us, and it does give more power to all the regulators, and especially the Federal Reserve. And I don't know whether you want to talk about it now, but that's where I offered my motion to recommit, dealing with the audit the Fed bill. Were you up on that?
No, that's exactly where I wanted to go next. I wanted to illustrate for listeners that just joined us that Congressman Ron Paul is here 20-something years ago in Congress. He couldn't get one co-sponsor, and I wanted to make this point. It seems the House and Senate are schizophrenic. The House votes by two-thirds to pass your bill to truly audit the quasi-governmental banking holding company, the Federal Reserve, that took over in 1913, but then, which is the right thing to do, but it never passed the Senate properly. And then now they're back giving the Federal Reserve even more power outside of government and Congress to regulate themselves. I mean, this is amazing. So break that oxymoron down for us and tell us about your new amendment.
Well, it tells you about the hypocrisy of this whole place and how it works and how powerful the Fed is. You're right. We passed it in the Financial Services Committee, the Audit the Fed bill, and it was part of the reform package. Then it came to the House floor, and they kept it in, so the House floor supported it. We have 320 co-sponsors. Then it goes to the conference with the Senate, and they drop it. They put some things in there to look at the Fed, which are slightly helpful, but they get rid of the true audit. So when the bill comes back to the House, guess what? We don't have the audit bill provision in there. So I was able to offer an amendment, which was a recommitment amendment, to send it back to committee and put back in the true audit.
Money.
Concealed carry, because that turns a right into a privilege in states where it's already legal to carry a gun holstered. But if you pass it in Texas or Florida and the crime rates drop by over 20% in both states, the same numbers in other states, even though it's a restriction to a certain extent, it illustrates that more guns means less crime, and so you win the overall intellectual war.
Yeah, that's a powerful message, and I think more and more people are coming around to that. And I think politically, we generally have won this. They sort of come into some of these regulations through the back door. You know, that in the last several elections, the Democratic candidate usually doesn't go out preaching about how he's going to round up the guns and register guns. They stay away from that. They pretend that, oh, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. But backdoor legislation, they generally are always trying to do that.
Let's talk about the oil spill. And again, just to preface this, BP gave orders that they knew would cause a problem. It turns out 2 months before it was leaking. BP is one of the biggest contributors to Obama. They funded the carbon tax. They've got a global governance office with a vice president over it. They've always wanted to nationalize oil so they get an inside deal. I'm very suspicious of how this has been handled. We're 70 plus days in. Obama has blocked a Taiwanese ship that can get 500,000 barrels a day scooped up. They've blocked over 30 other mega ships. Now that the hurricanes are coming in, he's saying he may look at letting them come in. Once that oil gets blown in, they're going to have a major disaster. The Washington Post is talking about forced evacuations. Obama's answer is, give me the carbon tax. Rahm Emanuel said, don't let a good crisis go to waste. I don't see this as Obama versus BP, as the media has phrased it. Really, this is Obama working with BP to try to get his carbon tax. Congressman, this is out in international water. Why don't we just have the salvagers in there to begin with? How can Obama tell people 50 miles out in the Gulf what to do?
Well, you forgot. He can write executive orders. He can write executive orders and do anything they want. So it is a real mess. You know, if a state needs the manpower, generally they don't have manpower that might be able to help out. That would be maybe their National Guard units. They're all over in Afghanistan and Iraq. I would say that, you know, if an emergency like this might be an incentive to say, hey, why don't you bring these troops home? And maybe even some different states would share some of their people to help. I mean, it's practically like an invasion the way this oil is coming in. But I think that, yes, I'm very suspicious of what BP and our government is doing and the Obama administration. And that's why I've even challenged the principle of this this agreement they have to set up, this fund, this $20 billion fund. Sounds like a lot of money, but it sounds like there could be a lot of mischief, too. And that was done by just executive order. The president declared, we're going to have this up. And then he came to the Congress and asked even for more authority to go any place asking questions and trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah, I saw a report that they're blocking. I'm sorry to interrupt. I saw a report in the AP yesterday. They're trying to block Republican groups from going and looking at the Gulf. I mean, Obama doesn't have that power.
Yeah, well, he might take it. He doesn't deserve that power, but sometimes they assume power that they have. But just, no, he doesn't. That's not a proper power that he has. So I'm not too pleased either, and I think a BP corporation is in bed with government, so you have to be suspect. Just think of how much we spend protecting their oil well and their oil drilling. What do you think we're over in the Middle East for? We're not over there to spread democracy. We're over there to protect oil companies, and BP just happens to be over there as well.
Did you see the video? You probably didn't 2 weeks ago, but it was on Drudge and Infowars.com and everywhere else. Senator Kyle said he was in a closed-door meeting with Obama and said, look, tens of thousands dead, 80 miles to 100 miles, illegal aliens, they're shutting down national parks, the border's collapsing, Mexico's collapsed. And Obama said, I'm not going to fix the border till you pass amnesty. I need to use that crisis. This is a quote. And Senator Kyle said that this is basically holding us hostage in a form of terrorism. I mean, that sounds like an impeachable offense, Congressman. And to have a senator say he was in a meeting with Obama, A, what's your take on that? And B, that is a false flag to let the crime continue and not protect our border when that's in the Constitution, one of the few duties of the feds. What would you say to that?
Well, since I wasn't at that meeting and exactly what it said, I don't know. So it would have to be up to the senator to decide what to do with it. But they certainly don't act like they have an incentive to do much with the borders, and that, of course, could eventually lead to a national security problem as well.
Well, okay, Congressman Ron Paul, what about his executive order? And now they say they're going to sue Arizona, and they're saying Arizona isn't allowed to protect itself when a third of the state is now being denied to the citizens. This is confirmed. What's your view on the constitutionality of an executive order by the president to legalize the illegals?
Well, he can't do it unilaterally like that. No, Congress would have to act and take a policy on that and write the rules. Our federal government has authority over our borders. But, you know, it should be that the private landowner should have a lot of authority, as, along with the states themselves with jurisdiction. And yet, instead of permitting them to exert their authority over their own land, whether it's their own private or the state, the federal government comes in and says, you can't do it. So they're acting perversely to what I think the federal government ought to be doing.
Congressman, I know you're a busy man, but have you had a chance to watch Kagan and the hearings, and then expanding on that, all of her open statements about socialism being great and the government can disappear speech, going back to that, are you concerned about Kagan?
Oh, I am, but I'm sure if he put 10 new ones up in place of her, I'd be very concerned, too. I haven't watched the hearings, but I've read about her, and she certainly is not going to be a great defender of the Constitution, although she's going to make it sound like she is. So I'm not too encouraged with that appointment, for sure.
Congressman, what's your take on the Russian spy situation? It seems like they're trying to kick off a new Cold War with that. And my issue is globalization is treason. Globalization is corporations and megabanks taking over our government. And so what is the difference between Russian spies sneaking around and mega corporations coming in and openly buying off our politicians?
Yeah, I think this is a little bit of hype. I think even the media, the mainstream media is sort of making fun of all this, and I think rightfully so. They just didn't look like a great threat to me. And I had somebody in for a luncheon today that was sort of knowledgeable about this, and he said that there's so much spying going on in the world. Other countries come in here, they do it routinely, and we're all over the place, all over the world. And it's almost, he described it almost like a game they play. I mean, it's really not serious intrigue. And my guess is that people like to stir things up, scare the people, and who knows? I hope it doesn't lead to another Cold War with the Russians. I don't think they're looking for trouble, and we certainly shouldn't be looking for it either.
All right, Congressman Ron Paul, we appreciate your time. In closing, and I know you'll say, well, if I was president, I would only have the powers of the president, but what would you recommend? What would you do? If Ron Paul would have been elected back in 2008, as we all wish you would have been, forecasting everything that's now happened, if you would have been elected, what would you have done with the oil spill, and what would you be doing now?
I'd probably work at getting the government out of the way. I would have done everything possible to alleviate any federal restrictions on the states or property owners. I would have accepted anybody who had an offer to come in and help. I would have worked to remove any liability limitations on BP. And I would have, of course, and by that time, by the time we had the oil spill, I would have had all the guard units back in the individual states, and they would have had the right to use their guard units as they pleased. And I would actually encourage other guard units and not pretend the guard units belong to the president, but they belong to the states and the government. And I think they could have done a lot to alleviate some of the damage. I do not believe that there would have been any magic with any one individual who say, oh, I know how to cap this thing, let me do it. I actually do believe they're trying seriously to stop this. I don't think it serves anybody's benefit. But I think right now the assumption is the government, you know, didn't have a role to play, and what they did was actually made this worse because of the rules of pushing them out into deep sea drilling. That was part of the problem too. But I would not have closed down drilling like Obama wants to do. That's not going to help us. That just makes the unemployment problem that much worse.
Well, the Russians and the Chinese and the people in Brazil, they're not stopping drilling in the Gulf. We don't own the Gulf. He's just stopped any companies in the U.S. I mean, this is outrageous, and they're going to use it to pass cap and trade. Congressman Ron Paul, everybody's got to get behind Campaign for Liberty. They got to get behind Rand Paul. We're going to win this, and we appreciate your leadership, and we know you're there working tirelessly for us in Congress. God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, I'm extremely excited to have Governor Jesse Ventura, former Minnesota governor, with us. He's also the star of the hit TV show, number one new show on True TV, picked up for a second season. He's been out shooting in the last month, back from Mexico. A lot has happened behind the scenes. Of course, I'm not allowed to talk about it, and the governor, the head of the show, he can talk about as much of it as he wants, but it's been very interesting. I'll tell you this, I can't get emails because I'm consulting some on it from home, from my employees' emails to Tyrell and other people working on the show. So there's a lot of chicanery going on with the governor out there on the road because he's getting close to some really dangerous issues. He'll talk about the oil spill. We'll get into the economy, the wars, McChrystal, all of it today. Of course, his new book has been on the New York Times bestseller list for the last 2 months. It's available in bookstores everywhere. Jesse Ventura with Dick Russell, American Conspiracies. It's also available at Infowars.com. And he's not on the talk circuit right now. You know, a few times a year he comes out and does interviews. He's giving us this interview. He gave Larry King one a few weeks ago. And so I feel very honored to have the governor join us. Governor, great to have you.
Great to be here, Alex. No, I only did the Larry interview because they requested and that Oliver Stone was going to be on. And I thoroughly enjoy Oliver's movie making and his talent. And if we could go on that for a moment, he sent me a copy of his film. I think it's called South of the Border, the documentary, and I watched it. And as I said on Larry King, I urge everyone to watch this film because it's on Hugo Chavez and it's on South America, and it also covers how things that we're hearing here through our media are totally wrong from what the reality is down there.
Well, I know the media lied and said that Chavez had said that a U.S. weapon caused the Haitian earthquake, and then it did get retracted later, but a little bitty paragraph in the Washington Post, the New York Times, he never said that.
Well, the thing is about it, it's even bigger than that, Alex. It's a case of this. It's now clear to me, and I don't get me wrong, I'm not anti-business, I'm not anti-anything, really. I'm a great believer in freedom. But it seems that any country that nationalizes their oil and nationalizes their natural resources and doesn't let our corporations go in there and, for lack of better terms, rape and pillage them, well, we then call that person a communist, a dictator, and we start working to oust them. I mean, we attempted a coup against Chavez back in 2003, but the people, the guy's been voted into office so many times you can't imagine. All the other South American leaders love the guy. He comes from a very modest background of being one of the people. He truly is. And let people be their own judge. But when Oliver and I were on the show, here comes Congressman, what's his name from Florida?
Ding Dong.
Baseball, Connie Mack. And he's advocating that this film should be banned. And I ask him, have you seen it? And he goes, no. That's the big picture, Alex, is that we're supposed to be a free country. You don't have to like Hugo Chavez, but you should at least have the ability to learn about the guy from alternative sources and not just what our government tells us about him.
Well, that's the Renaissance way. And I did watch the Larry King episode, and he did say, basically, ban it. And what an amazing anti-American statement. Even if I disagree with something, I think that it should be available.
We don't ban things here. You know, banning things, that's ridiculous. We learn because we learn all about things and then make proper judgments, and we can all make them. But you certainly can't make them if you're not getting necessarily the whole truth or can't seek alternative methods of learning about stuff. If we rely solely on our government, Alex, and the mainstream soundbite media, we will be the most ignorant nation in the world.
Well, in many respects, we are. Stay there, Governor Jesse Ventura. We'll be right back.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
former Governor Jesse Ventura joins us for this exclusive interview. And we're going to get into the open announcements of the federalization of the Internet, the march towards war with Iran. We're going to cover Lieberman and McCain's bill to secretly arrest U.S. citizens outside of judicial law. And only an act of Congress can order your release or even find out where you are. We're going to discuss all of this today. And he's also had some really spooky things happen. I wish he could tell you more, but he'll tell you as much as he can. You know, with his contract with True TV, he can't, you know, ahead of the season, tell you what's happening with the production. But it is wild what is going on. So that's coming up later in the hour. But for folks that just joined us, Governor, you were getting into a few weeks ago when you did Larry King, one of the only interviews you've done since you got back from Mexico, and they have this congressman on calling for the censorship of this Oliver Stone movie about Latin American leaders, Hugo Chavez, and their systems of government. And whether you agree with the film or hate the film, you shouldn't call for censoring it. But you've seen the film. Break down why you think it's viewing that everybody should see.
Well, everybody should see it because Oliver shows clearly how what the truth is and then shows how our mainstream media completely lie to us. They tell us a completely different story about the truth of what's going on. And the other thing that's huge is that the South American people, all they want to do is control their own destiny. They don't want us meddling and attempting to you know, do things down there that we've been doing for decades and decades. Like one of the leaders says, I'll be happy to have a United States military base in my country if they'll give me one by Miami. Now, isn't that fair? How is it that we can put military bases in all these foreign countries, yet they can't put any here?
Well, on top of that, we've got...
I mean, it's just things like that. And the other thing is, Alex, is they're now banding together six or eight of the countries down there, and they're not going to do business necessarily on foreign policy with the U.S. unless Cuba's included. And I think that's a wonderful idea.
Well, the quickest way to bring more freedom to Cuba would be to end the embargo.
Absolutely. The embargo is a miserable failure. It doesn't hurt Castro or his brother a bit. The only thing it harms is the Cuban people. That's the only thing.
Let's talk about that. You have met Fidel Castro, and then you actually got followed by the CIA. Tell folks what happened when you were in Cuba when you were governor and the aftermath of that.
Well, it was just, you know, I'm probably the only elected official who actually sat down with Fidel Castro, and I had an hour with him, and it was when he was in better health. You know, this was back in 2002. You know, since then I've heard, you know, it's only what I've heard that he's had health problems, but at the time I met him, he was sharp as a whip. I mean, you couldn't get a thing by him. In fact, when I was sitting with him, I only had an hour. I wore a watch, then I happened to just glance down at my watch to see that I had 20 minutes left. Castro was so perceptive immediately, and I just glanced. And when I looked up, he said, I'm sorry, am I keeping you from something? And I, of course, was honest. I said, no, sir. I said, but I know I only have an hour with you. And I glanced at my watch, and I see that I only have 20 minutes left. And I'd like to ask you some personal questions if I could. And he said to me, ask me anything you want. And so then I went in and asked him about the murder of John F. Kennedy, because it was something that I had studied for the better part of my adult life. And here I had a chance to talk to someone who was right in the middle of it, and who in some scenarios he was attempted to be blamed for it. And so I wanted to get his perception of what happened back then. And, you know, if you're open-minded like me, I realize that there, to every story, there's going to be three or four sides to that story. And to fully understand the story, you need to talk to three or four sides. And that's the problem, again, getting back to our country today, Alex. We're not getting three or four sides. We're getting one.
Well, as you've said, we have the two parties that are really almost identical twins. And they give us basically different flavors of poison Kool-Aid. But at the end of the day, there's really no difference.
No, there's none whatsoever. It's all the stuff that's coming out, you know, and then we'll transition now. You know, let's go to the show. We've been out shooting some episodes, and last week I spent the whole 2 to 3 days basically under surveillance by Homeland Security and tailed by the Coast Guard and all other sorts of stuff. And we weren't doing anything illegal at all. We were merely going somewhere to film something.
Well, they've got to know that Governor Jesse Ventura isn't going to stage a terror attack.
Well, I would think they wouldn't. I think that my record speaks for itself, that I love my country, but that I'm a firm believer, Alex, that before you go out and chastise someone like Hugo Chavez, that you should make sure that your own backyard is clean and tidy and up to snuff.
Can you even give people...
I can't say that about the United States of America today. We have a lot of problems in our own backyard that we ought to take care of instead of meddling in everyone else's business.
Can you give people a hint as to the type of thing you were trying to get a look at?
Well, we just wanted to film a certain location in the country. So, and we were in the water. We were in international water. And we just wanted to photograph what was there. And we were tailed by the Coast Guard and put under surveillance by Homeland Security.
Well,
and before we could even go out, we had a whole harbor of boats that wouldn't take us because of fear of Homeland Security.
And now...
Alex, isn't Homeland Security there supposed to be protecting us?
Yes, they are.
Then why are they striking fear into United States citizens, red, white, and blue people through and through, like me and you, and like a lot of these fishermen? Why are they spreading that type of fear to them?
Well, it's come out in Homeland Security documents that they wear the black uniforms to intimidate.
I don't know about all that, but you know what? I'm starting to call them the Gestapo. And that's some pretty strong words, Alex.
It is. Elaborate on that, Governor.
Well, to me, they seem to be some sort of security force that's getting control of everything in our country now, and they supersede anything else because they're federal. Much the same as the federales in Mexico.
Well, they've also been caught breaking the law, spying without warrants on American citizens, that even in non-terror-related cases. And they don't want you showing the public what you were showing because there's 36 of those they're building around the country, and it's not defensive. But I better be quiet at that.
No, what you're talking about is not what I'm talking about.
Oh, I knew you guys were working on that other thing. Oh,
we're working on all sorts of different stuff right now. We got 8 to 10 episodes to do, and I'm already working on 3 to 4 right now as we speak. Some days I'm doing this episode, other days I'm doing that one. But it's okay. Then I also found it very interesting. I went to a place where Alex, for the mere infraction of trespassing, it's become a capital offense.
Really?
They can shoot and kill you. For trespassing.
And that's a place out in the desert.
Well, and there's no fences or anything. And if you make the mistake and cross this line out there, it's authorized. They can kill you without a trial or anything.
Governor, your phone was just breaking up. I hate to add to the conspiracy atmosphere, but repeat what you just said because your phone was breaking up.
I'm sorry. Well, the place that we were at has no fences or anything. It's marked, but there's nothing to stop anyone from going through, and lethal force is authorized. Now imagine if you're out in the desert, you're not paying attention, and you're riding a dirt bike or something. And you pass by this particular boundary that's not very well marked, and they have the right to shoot you and kill you.
Quite some time I've been sitting it out. Didn't take no chances.
Jesse Ventura is our guest. He's the best-selling author of American Conspiracy. It's available at Infowars.com, along with his last bestseller at Infowars.com in the online video bookstore. This is a short segment, long segment coming up with Governor Jesse Ventura. I've got a bunch of Twitter questions I'm going to get to as well for the governor. But continuing, a lot of other things have happened with the TV show, but we'll just leave it at that because you're still working on a lot of these stories and don't want to alert the establishment to what you're doing. But before we get into Afghanistan, going back to you saying it appears Homeland Security's Gestapo, I mean, you are intensifying your view of these people. Why?
Well, because I find them in my dealings with them to be very uncooperative. They seem to use a lot of scare tactics. And, you know, excuse me, we're United States citizens. Our police and our whatever should not be out there and using those types of behavior. The bottom line is this, Alex. A few months ago, I signed a check for well into six figures to the United States government, right?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about. I paid my freaking taxes. Well, I'm sure it's the same in Austin, Texas, as it is in South Minneapolis. And that's this. When you're paying the money, doesn't that make you the boss?
That's our republic. That's our form of government.
No, I mean in life.
Yes.
If you're paying the money, that makes you the boss.
The customer's always right.
Well, I'm paying the money, and these people treat me like I'm some sort of criminal. I had one of them, quote, say to me, "You're not the governor anymore," with his back turned to me.
Wow.
Now, I found that completely disrespectful, and I found it outrageous that these people that I pay their salaries with my taxes, and they can speak and treat to me in that manner.
Oh, well, it's come out that Homeland Security is surveilling members of Congress. Same thing in England. They're using MI6 and MI5 to spy on members of Parliament. When a member of Parliament released the info, they SWAT-teamed his house in a, quote, search for intimidation. So the bureaucracy has just run wild.
Well, you know, I can't answer any of that, Alex, because I'm ignorant to it. All I can, you know, I live in Mexico half the year, but all I can say is that's the results that I've gotten since I've been back in the U.S., and it makes me want to go back to Mexico because even the federales aren't that bad.
Well, this is amazing. I sure wish you could tell people more, but they'll see it on the television transmission. When is that coming up? In the fall again?
Yeah, it should be. Just don't mark it in, don't put it in stone, but look for it around October. You know, just around, I think around October, hopefully.
And I guess
I'm hoping for anyway. There's nothing, you know, I know no definitive time or anything at this point in time, but I would say mid through the fall that we'll be far enough along to where we can start airing another 8 to 10 episodes.
And it's too early to let people in on what some of the episodes are about.
No, I'll never do that.
Sure.
If I do that, they can
have I understand.
Of learning when everyone else does.
Same here. I know the shows, and I've got my mouth completely zipped. But this season is going to be even more hardcore than the last. I mean, I think that's fair to say.
Well, it might be. It's certainly, it's starting off with a lot more resistance than the first season did. And usually when you're getting more resistance, that means it could be more exciting.
What's the old World War II?
Put it this way. It's been more exciting for me so far.
But you're a fighter. I mean, that makes you only want to push harder.
Well, you know, I believe in my country, and I believe that the citizens of the country are supposed to be number one, and it seems that we're not anymore. So in light of that fact, I'll always fight to try to make it that the citizens are number one, because that's what I believe our forefathers had in mind when they created the country.
We're going to go to break in a moment, and I do want to come back and get into Afghanistan and then the BP oil spill.
Like I said, Alex, I now know why we're in Afghanistan. It's called lithium. That's what every computer, every cell phone, everything that our modern technology must have. It's as valuable as oil, and they've determined Afghanistan is the spot in the world that has it. That makes things way more clear to me as to why. The war on terror is a side cannon fodder. That's the red herring.
Well, I wanted to bring that up. National polls now show that Obama is dipping below 40 points. He's losing his Democrat support. He's now expanded more wars than George Bush has, statistically, according to the Washington Post as well. I mean, this war situation just goes on and on and on. What's your view on that?
Well, for me, it's as simple as this, Alex. It's time to end this nonsense. We're the only country in the world that is occupying other countries and invading other countries. We're the only one. Nobody else out there is occupying anybody. And my view is let's not only bring the troops home, let's bring our, 78 foreign bases or whatever ridiculous amount it is all throughout the world. Let's come home. That day should be over with. That's my opinion. People may not agree with me, but my opinion is enough of this.
Well, we wouldn't be bankrupt if we weren't trying to be an empire. And the point I always try to point out is the American people pay for this empire, but we're not getting any of the goods that are being extracted. And that would be immoral even if we were. But this idea that we're going to get the money from the $1 trillion of lithium or we're going to get the oil. No, we fit the bill for these multinational corporations that use our nation as their muscle.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's not new. Go back and read about two-time Congressional Medal of Honor winner, General Smedley Butler. He wrote a great book way back in the early part of the last century, talking about in the end of his fabulous military career, he felt that they were nothing but the strong arm for corporate America down in Central and South America. That when they wouldn't cooperate, they sent Smedley and the Marine Corps in. And that's what I got in trouble about a month and a half ago, or whatever, 2 months, maybe longer now. I don't know, time flies when you're having fun. But I went on Fox News and stated unequivocally, I said, why does this country think that we're so shocked that we would get attacked by terrorists if indeed we did, to the level we have? And I said, when we've been practicing terrorism for 50 years, we just call it foreign policy.
Well, now they have over 1,000 drones operated by the Pentagon and the CIA separately, where people 10,000 miles away, 25-year-olds, are piloting drones. And now the headline in the AP was CIA to now kill with drones unnamed terrorists. And if they just see someone with a gun in Pakistan or Afghanistan, they drop a Hellfire missile on them. And they admit, if we kill 150 people at a wedding to kill one bad guy, that's okay. Since when is dropping a bomb on a wedding and killing a bunch of men, women, and children because they think one bad guy may be there? Since when is that not terror?
Well, and not only that, but look what we've done to Cuba for 50 years. Nothing to us.
The ABC News headline, U.S. government plan to terrorize cities as pretext for war with Cuba. They had a 9/11 style attack planned to be blamed on Cuba, but Kennedy said no.
Exactly. And that was way back in 61, called Operation Northwoods. And the point of the matter is, and why do you think Che Guevara grew to hate us so much? Here was a guy who was a medical doctor, someone that took the oath of healing, and he ended up a revolutionary that murdered people and all of that. But the big question to ask is, why did he feel that way? Well, he felt that way when he took the motorcycle ride in South America, and he saw indigenous people that had lived on the land for 200 to 300 years being forced off the land by United Fruit and U.S. corporations. That's why we're hated so much throughout the world, is because we inflict ourselves upon. And another thing to where we inflict is in this so-called war on drugs. That's just an excuse to give us a military presence in all these other countries.
Well, I mean, the Pentagon knows, our own government knows, that if they decriminalize drugs, almost all the crime will disappear like a vapor, and that Mexico is collapsing because of the drug war down there, the cartels battling each other, and you've got the cartels that are allied with the government who pay the government off, waging war on the other cartels that aren't laundering their money through U.S. banks. That's what the whole war is really about. And now, Governor, I know you've been out of the country and on the TV show, Fox News interviewed a Marine Corps colonel who admitted, yes, we grow the opium over there. We have to, or the Taliban will get the market. You know, that's the excuse in the 1980s of shipping the crack cocaine in was, well, if we don't ship it in, somebody else will. I mean, this is incredible. So they're now admitting, even in Reuters and AP, that our government is producing the opium in Afghanistan.
Well, it doesn't surprise me because by everything that I've read, when the Taliban took over, they put them out of business. That they took these guys and started tossing them in jail and stuff and literally shut down the opium business. And what's interesting is it coincides perfect with the collapse of the banks. And now the opium business is back up full throttle again, and the banks are back doing good business, aren't they?
500 plus billion a year out of Afghanistan alone, laundered, leveraged. That's you can leverage it 10 times through the fractional reserve banking. Good point, Governor Ventura. Governor Jesse Ventura joins us. His new book is several months on the New York Times bestseller list, as high as number 4. Jesse Ventura, American Conspiracies. It's also available at Infowars.com. I think the good news here, though, is your show number 1 for a new show on True TV, your book a bestseller. Judge Andrew Napolitano is the best guy on Fox, anti-corruption. His new show premiered on Fox Business, highest ratings ever on that network. Anybody who tells it like it is successful, and I think that's a mirror of the state of the country. There is an awakening happening. Are you seeing that when you travel around America?
I'm starting to see the kindling starting again. You know, some people have gotten in contact with me, that have said that the Tea Party has been taken over by, you know, Sarah Palin and them, but there still is a core group of Tea Party people out there, the Ron Paul people. And they're out there, and they're starting to grumble a little bit, and we're starting to see more. But I have to tell you something, Alex. I no longer support the third party movement.
Why is that?
Well, I know you'll find that shocking, but here's why. I believe so strongly that that the two parties make the rules, and for any third party to play in the game, they're going to have to corrupt themselves just like the Democrats and Republicans do. Well, we already have a two-headed monster. Why would we want a three-headed one? Instead, this is my position now. My position now is I want political parties banned. Get rid of them.
Well, the founders had a big debate about that, because look at the parliamentary system in England. You can have 4 or 5 parties. The same special interests just buy them all off.
Well, the thing is this. We've already got 2 corrupt parties. Why do we need a third? And for me, it's mostly in the voting booth, Alex. You can still have political parties. They can still endorse, but no one can officially be part of them. We need to turn them into being nothing more than lobbyists, too.
Well, that's an interesting idea because...
And that way, wait, let me finish. And that way, when you go in to vote, all you see is the name John Smith. It doesn't say John Smith Republican, John Smith Democrat. See, people are given the scapegoat of being able to vote for the party rather than the person. This forces you to go back voting for the person rather than the party.
Wow, that's a really good idea, because then you also don't have the mafia of the parties who, when new congressmen and women come in, they tell them you're not going to have any authority or power unless you play ball,
exactly.
And then the vote is negated.
Exactly. Turn the parties into nothing more than lobbyists. You have to run on your name. No party can be listed on a ballot. It also then makes it incumbent for you, the voter, to educate yourself, which is also good.
Well, the problem with third parties is they can never build up the muscle of the other parties that are over 200 years old.
And that's because they have to corrupt themselves, Alex. When the two parties make the rules to the game and control it as completely as they do, the only way a third party can survive is by falling to the same corruption. And then you've got a three-headed monster instead of a two-headed one.
Well, you've always said vote out incumbents and don't vote for Democrats or Republicans. But the good news is every incumbent is being voted out in the off-year elections. Every pro-establishment candidate, be they Republican or Democrat, whether it's...
That's a hell of a start.
I mean, well, this isn't just one party's in favor and other party's out of favor. This is a real political realignment, and the media ran a hoax a year and a half ago. They ignored Republicans being booed at town halls. They only focused on Democrats being booed, and they lied and said the Tea Parties were Republican. That then became a self-fulfilling prophecy where Democrats then wouldn't be involved with them, and so that was MSNBC and Fox literally engaged in a stage tag team. But going back to MSNBC... I had them demonize me a few weeks ago. They came down here, Chris Matthews, interviewed me for about 2 hours, and they used about 3 minutes of me, took it all out of context, edited it, and basically said that I'm calling for violence, and which I've never done in any way. And that's the new talking point. And I've just found that MSNBC is the most deceptive and nasty group I've ever seen. And what's your take on that? Because you experienced...
Well, I have a bit of a biased opinion, I guess, because, like I said, they hired me for a three-year contract. And then when they learned I was opposed to the invade... Because remember, when they hired me, they were not leftist. Keith Olbermann was not a liberal then. They were Fox Lite. They were attempting to compete with Fox, we laughingly called them Fox Lite. And... when they found out that and they had just hired Phil Donahue, and Phil was their number one rated show, when they found out that Phil and I both opposed the invasion and the war in Iraq before it happened, Phil was removed, the number one show, and I wasn't allowed on.
And that shows what political whores they are. Keith Olbermann will read whatever he's told off that teleprompter.
They all will. Hannity will. Glenn, you know, I just glanced at a book on Glenn Beck. You know what his claim to fame is? Completely? He's a top 40 disc jockey. Now, why should he carry any credibility whatsoever? He's never been an elected official. He's never worked in government. He never served his country in the military. He hasn't done anything but be a top 40 disc jockey who found his niche in what he's doing, and he's becoming exceptionally wealthy over it.
Well, my issue with Beck is he's flip-flopped so much, and he just came out of nowhere in 2002. And for those of us that have been doing this for decades, it's frustrating to see him turn the entire awakening movement into some type of corporate Republican foxoid animal so it can be discredited and so the movement against tyranny can be basically co-opted. That's my problem with Glenn Beck. I mean, I sent him where the FEMA camps are, the Civilian Inmate Labor Camp Program, the Houston Chronicle, the Wall Street Journal about the FEMA camps. I mean, it's actually hidden in plain view. And on his show, he just came out and debunked straw men. And he's done that. So, I mean, he said Ron Paul supporters may be violent terrorists. And then now he says he loves Ron Paul. So he's always followed that government talking point. And so I know he's not for real. Somebody 90% to like them. I mean, I disagree with some of your views, but I know you're for real. I know you can be counted on. I know you really stand for something and are a good guy, you know, at your bottom. But with Beck, he is a...
They're all that way. You know, every one of them, I learned that when I was doing my show. One of the big fights I had with MSNBC on a daily basis, they would send you what topics you could talk about. And for me, at that time, it was Kobe Bryant and Lacey Peterson. Now, those are good human interest stories if you're into National Enquirer stuff. I'm not into that. I'm into news that affects us on a general basis, everyone in the country, in some way, shape, or form. And those types of stories don't. And so I would fight with them every day from on high, saying I'm not doing Lacey Peterson. I'm not doing Kobe Bryant. Well, I don't care to have an opinion on either. Yes, the Peterson thing was a tragic murder, but it was. But there were 10,000 other murders that took place.
Well, what it is, Governor, is a feedback loop, as you know. They set the agenda with fluff and crap, because if they ever gave us real issues, and then it would become a self-fulfilling process where the people would want to know about real issues instead of being distracted with, you know, what happened with a murder in the Caribbean or what's going on with a congressman and his pages. People would be talking about real issues, but now that the alternative media has gotten so powerful.
Hey, you want to hear what one of the big stories up here in Minnesota is lately?
What?
There's a state legislator who came out a number of years ago that he was gay, right? Which is fine and dandy. I have no problem electing gay people to office. If they can do the job, who cares? Well, the big thing up here now is he was seen going out to dinner with supposedly some porno star. Well, how does that affect any way he governs? It has nothing to do. It's his private life.
Well, they feed us with this propaganda. And so the question I have for you, and we're skipping the break here. This is a network break, so stay with us, everyone. Here's Politico. Lieberman bill would strip citizenship, secretly arrest you, put you in a dungeon. It's moving through the Senate right now. New bill gives Obama kill switch to shut down the internet, and the FCC announces new regulations. They're proposing a box in your house. They're already putting this in Australia, software that blocks what you're allowed to look at and surveils what you're doing. And so what's happening is they know the alternative media is kicking the hind end of the corporate media that wants to force all of this fluff on us. And so they are now moving as a perfect storm, corporate media and government, to try to block the alternative media, Governor.
You know, if people aren't outraged over that, if that doesn't cause a revolution, what should? I mean, that's absurd. And I can't believe Joe Lieberman's Jewish, isn't he?
Yes.
Of all people, why would he support something like that?
It's insane. It sounds like something right out of Stalinist Russia or Nazi Germany.
It sounds right out of Nazi Germany to me. Exactly. And that's what just baffles me. Him, of all people, would be the signer and the carrier of this bill that would give government control over literally, and they could define who's considered good and who's considered bad.
The bill actually says for any intelligence person, for any intelligence reason, it's the Violent Belligerence Act, that a designate of the Attorney General or the President or the Pentagon, that they can literally snatch and grab you and use enhanced interrogation, and that you can never be released, never given a trial, and only an act of Congress can even find out where you are.
And this is going to be inside the United States of America.
This is racing through the Senate right now.
Boy.
John McCain's the co-sponsor, and they have a bill that mirrors the bureaucracy of the FCC and Federal Trade Commission. They have a bill that puts in the black boxes and has cybersecurity take over the internet. They're already building the NSA hubs. They've got one down at San Antonio. When reporters try to go take photos of the huge facility, police come out and arrest them. That's in the news. I mean, Governor, this, you're right when you say Gestapo. This is a total takeover right now of our society.
Well, if you know, what can you say? If we allow them to do that, then I guess we deserve what we allow them to do.
Well, God bless you. You're fighting hard. I mean, you could have just retired and ridden off to the sunset. I know that's what you want to do. But, I mean, here you are fighting the tyranny, and now you're being surveilled and followed around by Homeland Security.
Well, you know, what can you say? It's nice to be popular.
Well, we've only got about 5-6 minutes left, Governor. I just can't thank you enough for giving us this exclusive interview outside of any other interviews you're doing this week or even this.
I'm doing none, Alex. In fact, I'm playing a lot of golf right now on every day that I'm not working, because I'm treating this whole summer as a full work summer. So on days that I'm not working, I'm doing what I'm relaxing to the max, no different than when somebody works Monday through Friday. Well, on the weekend they relax, and so when I'm home now, I relax, because I'm now out on the road again. And, I'm not getting any younger at doing all this stuff.
Absolutely. We appreciate the exclusive interview and your time. Getting into some other subjects here, the Gulf oil spill. I mean, Obama and his controllers really have blocked the states and others from creating
a... To me, it's unconscionable. How could an oil company not have a plan in place for a leak? That's the bottom line to me, Alex. They drill all these wells under the surface of the ocean all over the world, and they don't have a clue how to cap one off if something goes wrong?
Well, looks like Obama may get his carbon tax because of this, though. I mean, what does putting a bunch of taxes on us have to do with fixing the oil well?
It doesn't, but the point is, how on earth can they... I'm speechless. How could they not have some type of emergency standard operating procedure that is not in place if one of these things goes haywire?
I agree with you.
That's where the bottom line ends for me. And yet now they want to build more of them, and they still don't know how to cap them off. Shouldn't they learn how to cap them off if something goes wrong before we continue to drill more of them?
Well, they knew how, and they ordered Halliburton and Anadarko, who were running the rig, to not follow those procedures.
Who did?
BP did. That's actually, I've called for criminal investigations.
Well, that's outrageous, you know. And like I said, before any new drilling's done, they better have a rock-solid procedure that works to stop it if something goes wrong.
Well, yes, sir, Governor, they did, and I've got the Coast Guard hearings they had 3 weeks ago. It's gotten very little news. Atlantic Monthly and others have covered it. And in those minutes, they talked to the ship engineers, the drilling rig engineers, and they said that the well was leaking 2 months before, not 2 weeks before, and that the whole thing happened because BP told them to do cost-saving measures that in their words, I told them... And this is witnesses that I told them it would effing explode and catch on fire.
Well, then there's people that ought to go to jail then. It's as cut and dry and simple as that. The people who did that should go to jail.
I agree
with
you.
That's all I got to say.
I agree with you.
It's a Forrest Gump, and that's all I got to say about that.
We've only got about 2-3 minutes left with you, Governor. In closing, the Iran situation, they're putting more sanctions on them. They're talking about boarding Iranian ships, engage in regular commerce. Israel's got nuke subs off their coast. Iran has backed off trying to run through the Israeli blockade. What's your view on what even the L.A. Times is saying today could shape up to be the start of World War III?
Well, I don't know if it'll shape up to World War III or not, but I think it's been on the radar screen for a long, long time. Let me finish your show by telling your listeners this. I have become a huge fan of Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty. I've read all his books he's written. I now have 8 hours of CD that I've come in contact with. And for those that don't know who Colonel Prouty was, he died in 2001, but he always said nothing just happens. Everything is planned. And the point being is Fletcher Prouty was the Mr. X character in Oliver Stone's great movie JFK, the character played by Donald Sutherland. That's who he was in real life. And when you read Prouty's books, you will get a total new history lesson from World War II to today. And you'll understand clearly that each and every one of these wars is pre-planned, that they're always planned for third world countries, and that there's never anything that the military can achieve in which to declare victory. And that's exactly what we've had in every war since World War II.
And Skyhorse Publishing...
It does not surprise me, Alex, that we're going into Iran. I think it's been planned for decades.
And Skyhorse Publishing has republished The Secret Team, available at Infowars.com. Governor Jesse Ventura, thanks for spending time.
Thanks.